Welcome to the Move Beyond podcast from International Sport and Culture Association. The main topic of the podcast is using sport as a tool for integration of refugees. My name is Monica, and I will be your host. So today we have with us two lovely ladies from Italy, and I'll just ask them to introduce themselves to you, our listeners, and if you maybe have a personal story to share with us connected to the work that you do with refugees. Beatrice, do you want to start?
Yeah. Hello, everyone. My name is Beatrice, and I live in Trento, which is a very small city in the north part of Italy. I'm currently working for a national association for sport and social promotion, which is called WISP. And WISP works with refugees since many years, but I actually have been involved in this part of the association activity since 1 year and a half with the Move Beyond project. So I don't have much of a history in working with refugees. Maybe Cristina has more.
Hello, my name is Cristina. Also, I am from Trento. And in fact, I am working for ATAS, which means Association Trentina that work with foreign people. And I work in the reception system for asylum seeker, which is coordinated by the autonomous province of Trento. I have been working as social operator and also as a coordinator of a reception center hosting 80 young adults asylum seekers. But this reception center was closed in 2019 after the political change in Italy. And that after that, many centers was closing down. Currently, I'm still working with asylum seekers. Then it's 5 years now. And but I work more now with families and women. And my role is to support, basically to support them in the integration process within the host society. So through conflict mediation, housing education, knowledge of local service, accompaniment to the service, to voluntary job, and so on. So it's my daily job is work together with them and helping them to get into society.
Sounds interesting. So do you want to tell us a bit more about the focus of the organizations that you're working in is, and also if your organizations have been working or let's say cooperating together in the past, if you can tell us about a bit more about that.
Okay. Yes, as I said, my association is ATAS, Associazione Trentina Accoglienza Stranieri. The association was created around in the 1989 to provide answers to the rising phenomenon of immigration when in that years immigrants start to grow as a number in the city of Trento. But we don't work only with immigrants. In fact, in 2010, we started to be responsible for reception, integration, and social inclusion, also of vulnerable people like victim of violence, domestic violence victim, person with psychiatric problems, and homeless. But then, of course, in the last years, since 2011 until we'll say 2018-19, the flow of asylum seekers in Italy and also in Trento start to grow continuously. People coming most of all from South Sub-Saharan Africa and Asiatic country. And my association was managing to accommodate asylum seekers, and we managed up to around 220 accommodation, apartments or centers and facilities, always within this big reception system of the province of Trento, which is called Cinforni. What happened since 2018, the flow of asylum seekers has decreased because we had a political change and it has been a restrictive policy, and many centers was closed, and the number of people arriving to Italy, as maybe you see in the media, was decreasing. The service we offer generally are housing opportunities, social support. We have information point for immigrants, and we do community development. So we try to build a relationship between immigrants, asylum seekers, and host society, then local association, and so on. And we develop project of integration and social cohesion within the local community. In fact, ATAS, within the bigger reception system of the province, was coordinating this area of community building. And within this area, basically, the work the association was doing was to create a relationship between asylum seekers and local association, volunteers, and so on. And in fact, we start to collaborate also with WISP and with other local association, but also with WISP, trying to create inclusion, project of inclusion through sport. The first project in which ATAS and WISP collaborate was the name was Relazioni in Movimento, which means relation in movement. And ATAS, together with WISP, together with the University of Trento, were participating to this project, which was a research project related to the participation of non-Italian women in sport at the local level as an opportunity for integration. I remember this project because in the relationship between WISP and ATAS has been an important project. But also we collaborated in the past also in more simple, without to have a proper project, but the example, WISP has always tried to involve asylum seekers hosted by ATAS in their sports project, and also ATAS has always involved, involved WISP in the projects related to the community development. I end just with two projects which are important because in one way the pilot project of Move Beyond, we will speak about it later in Trecciante, is a follow-up of these two projects, which they were called Sport Antenne, and the other one was called GOL, a network against racism. And these two projects were trained to create integration through football tournaments involving asylum seekers and local inhabitants. From these two projects is born our pilot project within the Move Beyond projects.
Beatrice, do you want to add something about your organization?
Yeah, just a few things about the organization I work for, which is called, as I was saying, WISP, which stands for Italian Union Sport for All. And WISP is one of the biggest organizations, social organization in Italy. And I'm working for the local divisions here in Trentino, the region I am currently living. WISP was created just after the war in 1948 with the aim to extend the right of sport to every citizen. So we actually do not look at sport as something as competition, but we look at it as a social activity, as something that brings health, better quality of life, integration, education, and so on. That's why we like to consider WISP not only a sport body, but also a social institution. And we actually cooperate with lots of different organizations to improve the people's well-being. And that's why also with ATAS, I think we have very common goal at the end.
So you already started talking a little bit about the common pilot project that you've executed in the Move Beyond. So could you elaborate a bit more, like what is the main goal of it, and how did you come up with the idea? And maybe also share at the end, like how was it for you, like to work together on this project, even though it's not done yet. We still have a few months, but there's been quite some work already done. So could you share it with us, please?
Sure, definitely. So as Christina was mentioning before, our pilot project in the Move Beyond project is a follow-up of a previously successful activity, which was part of a project called Goal, a Network Against Racism. And just to give a bit of background on how we arrived to this project. So some years ago, ATAS and WISP, our two organizations, decided to cooperate together in a project to raise awareness of the stories of asylum seekers through the organization and participation to a football tournament. So WISP was organizing the sport part, so was organizing the tournament, and thanks to ATAS, asylum seekers were involved and could participate in it. The idea was really nice since the very beginning, but we realized quite quickly that we were not really creating inclusion in this way. We were giving refugees and asylum seekers the occasion to do sport, but we were not including them in the society. In fact, teams were mostly made by friends that already knew each other. There was maybe, I don't know, the Malian team against the Nigeria team, and they were speaking the same language between each other. So it wasn't a real project of inclusion. And starting from this observation, we decided to write down another project. This goal, a network against racism, where we imagine a unique football team, which was made by persons from different countries, Italy included, where we put together asylum seekers, university students, workers, whoever wanted to join, to play together in a real amatorial league. And that's what we did. So in 2018, this team named Intrecciante, which in Italian means to weave together, to link together, was born. So this team was made by 15 Italians and 15 asylum seekers and was officially registered to the FIGC, which is the Italian Football Federation, and to the Amatorial League. The nice thing of this project is that we decided to create an association with all the players that were part of the team as active members. So both Italian and asylum seekers at the same level. That meant that besides football, all players were involved in the life of the association, which means meetings, election of the presidents, and other activities, and also in activities to raise awareness regarding immigration. So we were participating in debates at university, meetings in high school, interviews for radio, for newspaper, and so on. And I think that what's really important to stress here is that there were no Italians organizing activity for refugees, but players in the team were treated in the same way, no matter where they were coming from. Each voice was the same. So it was not us and them, but it was a real integration project. And I think that was the most successful part of the project. And now, thanks to the Move Beyond project, we had the opportunity to go on with this experience. And we enrolled one more time the Intrecciante team to the new league. so that we could consolidate and improve the experience of the previous year, and as well as the partnership between ATAS and WISP. In this sense, I think that working together, ATAS and WISP, was really important, because even if we have the same goal related to this project, which is to include refugees in the activities and in the society, still specific competencies are quite different. So we, as WISP, we would probably not be able to engage asylum seekers in this project if ATAS operator were not helping us. And the other way around, probably ATAS would have some trouble in organizing a sport activity without, let's say, sport competencies. So working together was really fundamental, and it was really great to reach better results for the project. And also actually to keep learning from each other, because since I started to work in this project, I got known with so many things about the world of integration of refugees that I actually didn't know before. So I think it's really important both ways.
Beatrice was very, very exhaustive. Anyway, of course, this collaboration was very, very interesting, because, of course, ATAS is not a sport association, and to have these two different competences, it was very, very interesting and very, very, very good experience.
So since in some way you're coming from two different organizations, but you're still part of the same non-governmental and civil society sector, how did you then align on the goals and objectives of the project?
So I think our case as WISP is a bit specific, because as I mentioned earlier, WISP, it's not just a sport promotion body, but it's also a social promotion body. So all our projects are trying to reach something else using sport. So something that has to do with the well-being of people. So in this sense, our goals are already quite close to those of ATAS and of other associations, social associations we work with. Probably it's different for those sport organizations where the focus is the sport and the performance itself. Irrespective of the educational and social part. So I actually think that for them, it would be a bigger challenge than it was for us.
Yeah, as I already explained, ATAS take care of welcoming people and accompanies them on their path of integration within the host society. So its activity do not directly concern sport. But our organization has mostly focused on working with the host community by promoting relationship and by making the society more sensitive and active through collaborative projects with volunteers, association, local private social organization, in order to build a common future together. So ATAS collaborates with many other local associations, promoting projects and relationships that enrich both asylum seekers and the host community. This is why it has not been difficult to create a path of integration of refugees through sport, and to align these kind of projects with ATAS goal. Moreover, this experience, the pilot project, for many asylum seekers hosted by ATAS, participation in the life of a football team and to the rules of football tournaments had also an educational role, which for us, for our association, the educational part is very important, because in this way, through sport, they anyway learned to know and to respect rules of the host society. So was a great experience, and it was not so difficult to align our goals to the sport association, WISP association.
So could you tell to our listeners a bit more about the different stages of the project? How did you start and what challenges did you encounter during like different stages? And how did you deal with those challenges?
Sure. So as I was saying, we ended the previous league around May, and we actually started already in June with this new project. So in June 2019, we had two open days on the pitch, inviting all the people that were interested in joining the team. Why we did that? Obviously, we had last year we had a team made by 30 persons, but then, as you know, asylum seekers, some of them maybe found a job or they moved somewhere else. So we had to find new players. So we had those two open days. And together with ATAS, we engaged new asylum seekers, university students, locals to join the trainings. We were actually quite surprised because really many, many guys showed up. And this is thanks to the success of the previous year. Not really in terms of results, because actually we lost most of the games, but because I think people really understood that this was a team where something else was happening. It was not just about the result. It was, as some of them call it, it's like a family. So lots of people wanted to be part of it. After that, we selected the players. Unfortunately, we had to say no to some of them. But we hope to be able to maybe have another team in the future so that we can have more people involved. After that, we have some bureaucratic steps. So obviously the enrollment to the league, the new memberships. We had to go with the players to do the medical examinations and so on. And during the summer, we had lots of meetings and discussions with other staff. In order to discuss the following steps of the project, to share the commitments. And we actually also ran together the focus groups that are part of the Move Beyond projects with the refugees. And then in October last year, 2019, the league started. I would say that our project, our pilot project, is divided in three different moments. So we have the participations to the Amatorial League, which means trainings and games, the so-called third half, which I will talk about it later, and social moments. So the Intrecciante teams is participating in two trainings a week and one game. And this is actually the most sport-related part of the project. Then we have this third half, which is something that we have stolen from the rugby, where the two teams, after each game, they meet together for a beer or to eat something, to spend some time together. So after each home game, we spend ATAS, they organize a social moment. We usually organize a buffet, we order some food from social cooperatives. And we invite the other team and all supporters to go and eat together, irrespective of how the match was. This moment, it's really important because it gives the opportunity to the other team to get known with our reality, and to refugees to get in touch with more people. So to expand their network, to speak Italian. Actually, that's a really nice thing because lots of asylum seekers said that being part of this team helped them in improving Italian, even more than having just Italian lessons, because they were obliged to speak with coaches, with the other team, or during social moments. And this really helped in improving with the languages and with their own competencies. So I was saying about this third half, obviously, I have to say that unfortunately, some of the opposing team didn't want to participate in it. That's how it is. It's a bit sad, but still, we always kept organizing them, and we still think it's really important to try to make everyone sensitive to this topic. And then we had this third part, which are the social events. So social events are occasions besides football, such as conferences in high school. We were invited in universities, local radios, and so on, where all players had the occasion to show up and say something about them, about their story, about Intrecciante, about their experience. And I say everyone, and I actually intend everyone, so not only asylum speaker, but also Italian. It was really important for Italian to say how it is to play in such a team, to be in touch with asylum seekers, to get known with their stories, and so on. The last thing I want to say is that this year, actually, Intrecciante won a prize, which was called Strike, which is a prize that was given to young guys that are trying to change things. That was the title of the prize. And as Intrecciante, we actually won this prize, which was very nice. Regarding the challenges you were mentioning, because actually, from what I said, everything looks quite perfect and nice, but obviously we had to deal with many challenges and problems. So first of all, the situation of asylum seekers, at least in Italy, I mean also abroad, but in Italy it's really unstable. So most of our asylum seekers are from Africa, as Christina was saying, and their main focus is to get a job, to learn the language, to have the yes for the commission so that they can stay in Italy, in Europe, and so on. This meant that many players that started with us had to stop because maybe they found a job, they couldn't attend trainings anymore, and for a few months we had the team was changing face. This was not a problem itself, but we always had to start again with explaining what this team is about. That is not just about sport, and that there is something else in it. And this was one of the challenges we faced. Another one was the political change we had in Trentino. So our local government changed and went, unfortunately, to the right side. The policy was really restrictive. So asylum seekers before had, for example, stupid example, they had free bus tickets. And after the change of politics, they didn't have any more. And even if it might seem stupid, but how could they reach the trainings and the matches without having them and maybe without having a job so they couldn't pay for their ticket? This is just an example, but still the politic affected quite a lot the project, and we had to find ways to deal with it. And finally, obviously, this recent situation of the coronavirus emergency that obliged us to shut down every activity we had. So obviously we couldn't meet anymore, we couldn't go on with the trainings. Still, what we tried to do was to meet on some platform like Zoom or other online platforms in order to keep having relation with the guys. We asked them to run some videos, and we created some videos to share on the social media. We were talking all together about the typical food they're cooking at home. You know, we just tried to find a way to keep the relation alive and to keep the attention on this project.
Listening to Beatrice, I just remember how 2019 was a real difficult year for all the association for asylum seekers and all the association working with them. Because, in fact, this political change was very a very strong change, and there were a lot of consequences. In fact, in January, we have to meet again. We spend ATAS because a lot of the players or they found a job or they left Italy. Because with this political change, a lot of them that were still in the process to request the document, they decided to leave Italy because of this restrictive policy and go to look for fortune in other country in Europe. This is really the situation. So in this last year, the uncertainty of asylum seekers in Italy really growth, and the stress about to live in this uncertain situation, in this transition, and with this political restriction didn't help at all. And so a big project like Intrecciante is a project that people is involved for 12 months, I mean, a lot of times. Sometimes is getting in contradiction with the project time that they have, because everything is very temporary, is very uncertain. And but anyway, we managed to face, we found new players and so on. But of course, 2019 did represent an important change on the work with asylum seekers and on their life.
So from all of this experience of the last year and especially the last months, so what are the three key learning points from the experience for you?
So I would say that thanks to this experience, we understood that project like this one works only if there are more organizations with different competencies working together. So in this specific case, people working for a sport organization do not have the same competencies and skills of people working for a social organization, and vice versa. So what's really important is to help each other and mostly to keep meeting, keep discussing, keep having open mind, and let's share everything that goes on in the project. Then I would say that another thing I learned is that sport, it's not a tool of inclusion itself. So it can be a tool for inclusion only if there is a real interest in people that are working in it, in integrating person. You might play for a team, but not feeling included at all. And this is true for asylum seekers, but for actually everyone. You can be part of a team, but still not feeling really part of this team outside the game or the trainings. And I remember actually the case of an asylum seeker that was part that took part of one of the focus groups, who was playing for a local team before joining Intrecciante. And he actually said that there were other few African guys in the team, and they were always together, and Italians were always together in different groups. So they were meeting for the training, and that's it. No one was calling, no one was texting. I mean, they were still playing, but there was no inclusion, there was no integration. So there, it's not just sport that makes inclusion, but it's the willing of people that makes it. And maybe Christina have a third one that doesn't come to my mind.
But for sure, what I understood, or maybe not I understood, I had the confirmation that the integration process is never any unidirectional. In fact, in our project, we aimed at creating a team in which the players themselves are also, as Beatrice explained before, are also active members and engaged outside the tournament to raise awareness within the local community. I say that that integration process is never unidirectional, and I say that because during one of the focus group that we carried out as a part of the Move Beyond project together with Beatrice, one of the members of Intrecciantet suggested that also asylum seekers and refugees themselves should move some steps toward the hosting society and let them know who they are, how they live, that they are good people. I remember one of them. I am quoting him because he says something very interesting, and he say, "You have to try to integrate with Italian and teach them what an asylum seeker is. You need to make them understand what it means. It's not only Italians that have to integrate us, but we need to try to integrate them." So to me, it was an important statement regarding the social inclusion process, because we work a lot about social inclusion. In fact, inclusion is a process that must necessarily involve both the whole society and also the people welcomed. But sometimes we think that it's only the whole society that have to welcome people, but it cannot work in this way. It's true also welcome people have to do their part. So this was a big things that I learned from this project.
So how are you following up on the project? Are you planning to collaborate also in the future? Do you already have some ideas or things that you want to do together?
Of course, we hang to do other projects together. In this moment, due to the recent lockdown linked to coronavirus emergency, the pilot project had to stop. So in this moment, we are not doing very much. However, during these months, at home, we have continued to promote videos in our social media, Facebook, Instagram, with players of Intrecciante training at home or cooking local dishes and so on. This because we wanted to give a positive message of social inclusion and to keep the relationship with the world society despite the COVID-19 emergency. ATAS and WISP, as I say before, collaborate since many years. And now this project, Move Beyond, was an important project carried on together. And we are now wondering how to give continuity and sustainability to the project. Regarding possible other projects, we are discussing about implementing Intrecciante models, like with half players, asylum seekers, half players from Italy, and with all the models that explained Beatrice before, possibly to apply this model to other sports, like basketball or volleyball or walking in the mountains, trekking in the mountains. However, we don't know if we don't know yet. It's not very clear. We don't have a clear project yet. We are looking for fundings to develop other projects like this, of trying to integrate refugees through sport. And we would like to involve other categories of refugees or asylum seekers, because we would like very much to work more also with families, with children, and with women. In particular, during the focus group, two of the focus group were carried on with women. And in fact, we realized that often women do not consider sport or movement like as a priority or not at all as an instrument for social integration. And one of our dream is to work more with this category because we think that sport could be a good tool to integrate also refugee women. So this is the dream for the future. We are working to realize it.
In your opinion, what are the key principles of successful partnership?
So it might be a trivial thing to say, but I really think that having a common goals has one of the most important thing. Common goals that have to be clear and shared since the very beginning. So I really believe that if two partners of a project have different goals, for example, sport organization might think about winning the tournament, while the social organization might think about inclusion, then the project is doomed to fail, definitely. So having common goals means dedicating lots of time to meeting and debating beforehand, to keep monitoring the activity, even being very honest between each other in the organization. So the clearer we are, the better the results of the project, I would say. And especially having different competencies, it's really, really important to dedicate time to improve the relation between the two partners that are involved in a project. Yeah, I would say that.
Yes, just one more thing that for us was we did spend a lot of time doing meeting and discussing all the part of the project. So sometimes it looked like a lot of time just speaking and having meeting, but this is very precious time. You need this time to work well with a partner. You need time. You need to spend time and meet often.
From your experiences, who are the key stakeholders that can contribute to integration of refugees through sport, and how can we get them on board to collaborate with us, with different organizations and NGOs working in the field?
For sure, important and key stakeholders that can contribute to the integration of refugees through sport will be other local and national association, sport association and non-sport association. So I think we need to disseminate the good practice and experiences of the Move Beyond project to other associations that work like us, but maybe they don't have the an experience to work together on this subject. And secondly, I believe that also the political institutions are very important stakeholders, and they can contribute very much to disseminate good practice, but also to support this kind of project. Unfortunately, not always political institution is ready or is agree on supporting this project. In this moment, for us, these stakeholders are a little bit more difficult to approach. It's more difficult to speak with them, but still we would like to meet them and give them the result of this European project, showing them also the big results we have.
Just one thing, I believe that we really need to make sport organizations sensitive to this topic, because as I was saying, we can have some sport and social promotion bodies such as WISP, and we have others in Italy that are doing a nice job with it. But the big problem, I think, is in sport organizations that just organize sport, that are not social organizations. I think we need to let everyone know that sport has a part of education. So a coach it's also an educator and has to be aware of some topics, especially when there are foreign persons and in this case refugees. So we really need to work a lot in making people aware and yes, to raise awareness about it.
And is there anything else you would want to share with our listeners? Anything that you maybe didn't express through the interview, through the conversation? Any last words, ideas, something for inspiration, whatever?
I think we said quite a lot, but if I had to add something, speaking to, let's say, new organization now, trying to get involved in integration of refugees through sports, I would say do it. I mean, it's really, really nice to be involved in this. It's really nice to work with refugees, with asylum seekers. Actually, I found out I am really learning a lot. And that's the best thing, because I take part at this project, let's say, as the expert. But actually, I realize I'm not the expert at all. And others are teaching me all the time new things. And that's the best thing. So if you're thinking about trying to do something like that, just do it, because it's really rewarding. It's really nice, both as a professional and as a personal level. So we are looking forward to have new organizations on board.
To me, I am not at all, not anymore, a sportive person. And when I think about sport, I think about something very or professional or competitive. And in fact, through this project, myself, I learned that sport is just a tool. It's just a way to be together. It's just a way to do things together. So, and I believe inclusion is getting through this. To do inclusion, you need to know people. And to know people, to know diverse people, we say, you need to do something with them. And this project, asylum seekers and Italian people were doing sports together, and they went to know each other. And I believe also a lot of Italian people should keep the sport in this way. Don't think to make sport only in a professional way, but to play together with people, with other people, to get a good time and doing things together, we can overcome prejudice and build a better society, really, in a very nice way.
Thank you, ladies, for sharing, and hopefully we hear more from you in the future in similar projects.
Thank you. Goodbye. Thanks.
Yes, thank you to you. Goodbye.
Hopefully you got some inspiration for your work with refugees. Thanks for your attention, and make sure you listen to our next podcast.